With the U.S. depending on Russian spacecraft to get NASA astronauts to the International Space Station, sanctions sparked by the Ukraine crisis have implications for the U.S. space program. Last week, Russian Deputy Prime Minister Dmitry Rogozin, who's in charge of the Russian space program and a target of U.S. sanctions, suggested on his Twitter account that the U.S. use a trampoline to get astronauts into the space station. Russian rockets are also used to launch European satellites. The dust-up has brought to light the limited options the U.S. has in getting astronauts into space and space exploration in general since the space shuttle program ended in 2011. Joining us now to talk about these concerns is Tom Durkin, Deputy Director of the South Dakota Space Grant Consortium. The consortium serves as a link between NASA and the citizens of South Dakota. And Tom, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl, and thanks for having me.
How concerned should we be about the impact our strained relations with Russia could have on the U.S. space program?
Well, I think it's, you know, the current situation is just another good example of why it's important for us to work to get an American spacecraft, to get our American astronauts back and forth to the space station. And as you put it, the latest dust-up, I think, is just, you know, another indication that that's an important goal to continue to try to achieve.
Are there currently things in the works regarding any post-shuttle spacecraft, launch vehicles, manned, unmanned spacecraft?
Sure. The unmanned spacecraft missions basically are, you know, continuing as planned. There isn't a whole lot, in terms of NASA anyway, I'm talking about, a whole lot of impact toward that. It's the manned space program, as you pointed out, since the space shuttle was retired a few years ago in 2011, you know, that we've had to rely on the Russian Soyuz spacecraft to get back and forth to the space, International Space Station. And there is an effort underway now. You know, since the Constellation program was canceled several years ago, which would have been the American counterpart to developing a spacecraft to get you know, manned crews back and forth to the space station, like the shuttle used to do, and then to take the next step, which the shuttle was never able to do, and that is go beyond low Earth orbit with eventual goals of going back to the moon, Mars, or beyond. And that has changed now to where we're trying to get our companies, our American companies, who are working hard at developing spacecraft that would be available then to taxi our astronauts back and forth to the space station just to go into low Earth orbit. So that's the current efforts right now that are still underway.
Those commercial efforts, are those efforts that are in partnership with NASA, or are they independent efforts?
Actually, I think there's probably both. Mm-hmm. They're certainly in partnership with NASA because NASA is funding some of the companies to you know, develop these various spacecraft, and there are several that, you know, are underway with different companies, and the one that has docked with an unmanned resupply mission is the Dragon space capsule, which was put together by SpaceX. But of course, we use other, America uses other companies to get unmanned spacecraft back and forth to space, not just to the International Space Station, such as Boeing and Lockheed, which are under partnership under the United Launch Alliance.
Well, is there any impact currently at the moment with the relationship, the strained tension between the U.S. and Russia? Is it having any impact right now? And there are two NASA astronauts right now on the International Space Station.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's an impact in the sense that you know, I don't think there's, at this point, you know, any significant risk. We have a partnership with the Russian space program, and our two space programs, the American space program and the Russian space program, have worked very well together for many, many years in the effort of the International Space Station. So our astronauts and their counterparts, the Russian cosmonauts, you know, they have established a very good, you know, trusting relationship over these years. And I think, as far as I can tell, that relationship at that level, you know, is very good. But this current example can show how, you know, maybe you know, some of the higher level politics between the two countries can affect you know, what's going on in different agencies, and so you know, I think it's an important thing to try to work out amenably, but also, as I said in the beginning, it just shows how we should renew our efforts to develop a spacecraft here in America that can taxi our American astronauts back and forth. It's good to continue the international relationships. You know, NASA's basically a civilian organization, and it's a trust-building organization with the countries that we work with, and that's all very good for, you know, international relations. But we really should do that in addition to having our own capability of putting our people into space.
Now, we're kind of talking about what the U.S. relies on the Russian space program, but are there certain things that Russia depends on the U.S. for?
Well, yes, because it is such a, you know, and designed to be a partnership. So in terms of just the crews, for example, the crews are made up of you know, international space travelers, mostly American astronauts and Russian cosmonauts, but of course there's other countries involved too. And the International Space Station itself is a 15 country collaboration. The United States has you know, taken the lion's share of building the space station, but there are 14 other countries in addition to us that are working together. So again, that's the partnership. That's the you know, the thing that, in my opinion, is very good, because it builds, you know, trusting relationships between these countries that have to rely on each other to carry out the mission of the International Space Station, and just getting the people back and forth is just one part of it.
Given the expense of space exploration for all countries, will international cooperation, whether with Russia, whether with Japan, China, wherever else, do you see that as always being at least one aspect of space exploration on the part of the U.S.?
You're saying the cooperation with the other countries?
With other countries.
Yes, I think as long as that can be done in a cooperative manner where we work together, it's a good thing. And I do see that as you know, something that will continue in the future. You remember, I mean, that really was the, you know, that was one of the prime components of the Apollo mission, you know, and in fact, the plaque that's still left on the moon says, you know, we come in peace for all mankind. So, you know, that's the part of the American space program, and I'm particularly talking about NASA here, mm-hmm. That is a very good thing for building international relations.
This situation you talk about, Apollo, this kind of brings to mind the space race between what was then the Soviet Union and the U.S. During the Cold War. Do you see any echoes of that, or is that just something in the past?
Well, the thing about the space race is it really gave the impetus to drive our American effort, because we were in competition, you know, at that time with the Soviets for technological superiority in space. And as you say, it was a true space race. We lost the first four legs in terms of just putting a man into space and then in orbit around Earth. But we, you know, we crossed the finish line, so to speak, first in terms of putting a man on the moon. And so that was very important at that time to maintain technological superiority. And in my opinion, it's just as important today. Only the impetus isn't there today as it was years ago. And I think, you know, if we try to look at it from the standpoint of the advantages that it gives us to maintain technological superiority in terms of spaceflight and all of the technologies then that are developed and spun off for all sorts of other different uses because of our investment in space exploration, our research and technology development. I think looking at it from that standpoint is reason enough, in my opinion, to continue to support a robust space program in the U.S. It helps us in the aerospace sector, and it certainly helps us in the space sector. You know, I mean, in terms of aircraft development and also satellite deployment, et cetera. So, but the political impetus is not the same as it was back in the 60s.
Do you think that the current tensions with Russia and the impact that could have on the space program, do you think that will create maybe some of that political impetus and result in more funding from NASA, bringing back some of those memories?
It could, you know, I mean, there are hints, you know, of it because again, this kind of shines the light on the need for us to have an American spacecraft to get back and forth to space with our manned missions. And so the more that happens, the more light might be shed on that. So while I'm not advocating for obviously discord in international relations at all, you know, it does shine the light on the need for that. So
how long is the International Space Station expected to remain in operation?
Well, the initial retirement, I think, initially was 2020, but there's talk about extending it, of course, to 2030, and I think it's pretty safe to say at this point it's already 2014 that it'll probably extend beyond 2020. Where, you know, there's an awful lot of scientific and engineering research going on the International Space Station that we're learning a lot from. And of course that helps, you know, in our technology development. You know, one of them is just the biological implications of keeping astronauts in microgravity and extending the amount of time that we can stay in space and remain healthy. There's all sorts of medical technology development of drugs and things that can help us back here on Earth. And again, this comes to the point of there's an awful lot of breakthroughs that can be used as spin-off technologies for all sorts of applications here on Earth as a result of our investment in doing this type of scientific and engineering research on board the space station. And that helps not only the United States, but the other countries involved as well.